Grace and peace be yours through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning is taken from the epistle lesson, Romans chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. This is our text. Please join me in prayer. O God, your grace abounds for us so that we may enjoy justification, life, and peace as Adam enjoyed before the fall into sin. Open our hearts, gracious Lord, so we may inherit the blessings of the second Adam, Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. If you were trying to think about the most influential and longest lasting influence on humanity, who would you nominate? Well, I suppose we could think about Abraham Lincoln. A man who came to prominence in a very important time of our history, saved our country from dissolving into civil war and destroyed by that civil war, brought freedom to some 12.5% of the population. And because we're from Illinois, that's a good candidate for us, Lincoln. But we could think of other choices, too. Somebody might say, well, how about George Washington, who led our country into independence? Or maybe Queen Elizabeth I, who took a rather second-rate country and changed it and aimed it towards building an empire in which the sun never sets. As Lutherans, of course, we would think about Martin Luther, a man who brought Germany out of the Middle Ages, a man who solidified and standardized the German language, translated the Bible into German so any person could read it for themselves. Quite an important reformer. Which one has the longest lasting impact? Well, in our epistle lesson this morning, Paul would nominate Adam. Adam had the longest influence, father of all humanity. Through his disobedience, all of humanity was infected by an infection that has 100% mortality. The Old Testament tells us those events that led up to his disobedience. A perfect world without sin now turned upside down, with sin separating man from his creator. Paul writes, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. Adam. He wanted to be like God, knowing good and evil, and ended up only distantly remembering some good, but now living in a present evil age of his own making. Adam, who brought all of humanity into enslavement to evil. Sin rules in all of our lives. Sin's impact, both our desire to be self-preserving, yet at the same time self-destroying. We see its harm in our life daily and in the harm of lives around us. We see what it does, and every funeral we've gone to, there it lays its claim. It's 100% mortality. On one hand, we wish we could live in harmony, but most of the time, we don't trust people to be in harmony. We want to care, but most of the time we're apathetic. When we see bad luck or disaster befall other people, silently we say to ourselves, thank goodness it doesn't happen to me. Paul writes, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want to do, I do." And all of us would say the same. So how do you repair such a mess? God sends his Son, Jesus Christ. The plan is to repair what Adam destroyed. Where Adam brought sin and death, Jesus brings grace and life. Where sin divides us from God, building up walls to keep us away from God, Jesus brings grace to unite us, to make us one with him and with the Heavenly Father. What Adam could not fix or repair, Jesus does. And he guarantees it by the cross on which he died, the full and complete forgiveness of all our sins, requiring nothing from us except to receive it with joy, to accept it, to recognize God's great love for his people, to trust that he has this great thing for us. Adam tried to grab equality for himself, to be like God, ending up being nothing but dust. God, however, through his grace, makes us all sons and daughters in the kingdom, inheritors of what Jesus won on the cross for us, to know that we have eternal rest in paradise, that we will have life everlasting, not by our grasping, but by the gift that Christ has won for us. So therefore, we live our life. We live our life as sinners and saints. Sinners yet, because Adam's hold on us has not dissipated. It's not gone. It's not forever banished. That will come with our resurrection. But we are also saints, not because we're perfect, but because we have been chosen by God to be his children. The rise of suburbia, especially in the Middle West, came about when people saw what was happening in the cities, and still is happening. Children being shot, people having their cars stolen right from under them. All these things we see in the city, and we abhor them, and so we decide, let's move out to suburbia because there things will be so much better. Until we find out the same problems are there as well. Maybe not quite in the same numbers, but there's still murder, there's still death, there's still theft, and there's still people there to hurt us. Sin is everywhere, and it isn't going to go away unless it is chased out by God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Sinners and saints, what a struggle we all have in our life. The old Adam still fighting in us, still trying to gain the upper hand. And Christ, who through his work, through his death, through his offering on the cross, bringing forgiveness, restoration, strength through the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, a life set apart for the kingdom of God and to be completed when we hear those words that we are to rise from the dead. Life in Christ, so that by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. God, through his grace, has given us this grace, through this grace, he has given us this life, which we could never hope to win. He gives it through the resurrection of his Son. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.